Okay. Hello. Hi, guys. So, this is going to be my first podcast episode. Within the last 24 hours, I've had two different people swipe up on my Snapchat story and ask me to make a podcast. And it's been brought up to me before, too. Like, you need to do YouTube or you need to make a podcast, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're that type of person. And I actually created this 1 month ago in January, but never uploaded anything. I just made the account, and synced my payment information and everything to the account, but I never actually posted an episode. So this is going to be my first one. I really intend for this to be concise and straight to the point, but my mind tends to kind of go all over the place in every area. Like, if you know me personally, you know that I think of everything, any topic in like any and every single angle that you could possibly come up with. I think of everything unbiased, and therefore I have so much to say about so many things. And so I'm hoping that these upcoming episodes are going to provide a bunch of different insight points of insight that are going to fit with a variety of different people in many ways, and include also very polarizing thoughts that, some people might agree with one thing I say, and some people might agree with the complete opposite angle of what I just mentioned. I think that in this society of this, if you don't agree with me, then you're wrong, and I'm gonna attack you, and we're gonna fight till you give up, type of, situation that this generation has really, put forth as the dominant way to think and the dominant way to communicate with people. I kind of want to be somebody a little bit different and present a different type of circumstance and invite any sort of opinion, any sort of thoughts. I really am someone who, if you have something that I even find offensive that you bring to my attention, I almost never get offended. I'm just going to think of you as a human being. I'm just going to think of you as someone who has had a very different life from me or a very different life from the majority opinion. And that doesn't mean that your voice is required or deserves to be silenced. Now, with that said, I'm going to just simply introduce myself for those who have literally no idea who I am and just perhaps stumbled upon this somewhere on the internet, or somewhere on podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find it. So my name is Rochelle. I am not Michelle, not Rachel. Rochelle, a lot of people screw that up, but it's okay. I'm 22 years old. I will be 23 in June. I'm currently a graduate psychology student, so I'm in a master's in psychology program. I intend to graduate in December, but I'm considering actually switching my program to counseling psychology rather than just the general psychology program that I'm currently in, for different reasons. So I'm currently in grad school, and I want more than anything to be a psychology professor. I'm one of those people who has known what they've wanted to do since I was 18. I am not someone who, I mean, which is lucky and not very common, but I'm not someone who just went through the motions and kind of decided as the years went on. I've always known since age 18 that I want to be a psych professor. I just knew it hit me, it clicked with me. A very big part of why I am the way I am is that a lot of that I never, honestly, never bring up ever unless someone directly asks me, because not only does it involve a lot of pain for me to reflect upon, that I don't really experience at all really anymore at 22, but it was a big, big, isolating, painful time of my life for many years. Is that I'm a bicultural person. That's something that if you're going to continue to listen to these podcasts or even get to know me in regular life and understand why my character has developed into the way that it has, it's because I'm bicultural. I'm the only person in my whole family who is from America, essentially, who grew up here, who was born here. Even my sister, who is 5 years older than me, was two. Yeah, she was like two when my mom immigrated to the U.S. from Ukraine. So, and then followed my aunt and uncle, cousin, grandparents. So literally, I'm the only person who was born here. And that has, which I could make, that honestly is an entire topic of its own for a podcast. And I think that that is something that I eventually would talk about. But I'll give you just a very short synopsis because that's not what I'm going to be discussing for the most part in this. It's just an introduction to who I am and why I am the way I am, so you better understand my points of view. My family, you know, is Russian, and I'm the only American one. And so I learned English when I was like 4 or 5. And I grew up in a very confused state. I lived so much of my life very confused. I have episodic memories of being 7 years old, 8 years old, 10, 12, 15, 18, and sitting at a table with my family and being like, in my mind, why am I here? I don't belong here. I should be with American people. You know, I don't fit in here. And then I'd run upstairs to go back to the computer and play like Webkinz or whatever, Neopets, whatever game I was playing at the time. I never felt like I fit in. And consequently, that has really shaped and really confused the fuck out of my ability to become part of any other group ever in my life, ever. I've always struggled very strongly with fitting in with other people. I never quite fit in with like one solid group. I don't know. I just don't. I have been part of every group you could think of throughout my life. I have been friends with very popular people and I fit in. I've been friends with really artsy people and I fit in. I was friends with people who were bad people. I don't want to say bad people. That's hyperbole. People who were very terribly influential on me and had me make choices that I very much regret. And I fit in with that group, with the music people in Pittsburgh who are like really into my kind of music and I attend concerts all the time and that kind of thing. I fit in with that type of person. Throughout my life, I've always just been able to fit into any type of group, but I felt like I didn't belong, if that makes sense. Like those people accepted me in every group. Those people seemed to like me and want to be my friend. And especially like with partying and being over 21 and girls want you to join their group. And like go to out to the clubs and stuff. I've always felt like I very much fit in with every type of person, but I just felt like I wasn't connecting. I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt like I couldn't belong anywhere. And so I say all that to say this. I don't say that because it's something to feel bad about me, to feel bad for me about. I'm telling you this, I say all that to say this because I want you to understand why my brain is the way that it is, why I am the way I am, why I think the way I do. It's because I've never fit into one solid group of people ever. At least I felt that I didn't, and I felt that I didn't belong. And it really fucks you up. It messes you up. It makes you feel like you just don't belong anywhere, and it makes you feel like there's something wrong with you inherently. And I don't really know many first-generation American people. I have had one friend who we haven't talked in a very long time, but he told me the exact same thing. He said, I felt the exact same emotions as you, because growing up in that kind of environment, you don't agree with what you're being told. You don't agree with the social norms of your culture. You don't agree with your parents. You don't feel you belong, and therefore you struggle to connect with anybody else who's outside of your family because you don't connect with your own family. And again, this isn't something to be sad or sympathetic about. This is something to understand that it's factual. It's a fact. It's a part of my life. It's a part of my identity. And therefore, I feel that that's why my brain is the way that it is. And that's why I think of things in such polarizing opinions, in such polarizing ways. And I don't understand why people don't give others the chance to even open their mouth. To eat. It's like the society's turning into something that if you don't agree with me 100% at all, then I'm going to roll my eyes at you. I'm going to cyberbully you online. I'm going to tweet at you, tweet about you. I'm going to cuss at you and be very just too, I don't even know how to, the word to say it without it sounding offensive, but just too much, very confrontational until you finally give up and agree with me. And that is not at all what I stand for. And that is not at all what and who I want to associate with in my life. So with that said, I hope that these upcoming conversations, upcoming discussions are just going to influence you guys to think about things in different ways and to challenge your mind. And even when you really are like, maybe this opinion works for me right now, but I feel like in a couple years or even in a few months, I may think entirely different. I might completely disagree with who I was and what I was thinking 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 1 year ago, 3 weeks ago. I want you guys to continually throughout your lives challenge yourselves so that you will always be progressing and you will never stay stagnant. It almost scares me when people are exactly the same person as who they were when they were, you know, a year ago or 5 years ago was the last time I talked to them or saw them. And they are the exact same individual as they are now. That is genuinely frightening to me. So with that said, I challenge you guys to just keep your minds open and fluid and let your thoughts go through as I'm speaking right now. I'm not planning what I'm saying. I'm not reading off no script or whatever. This isn't about being perfect. This is about challenging ourselves and letting our minds remain fluid so that we do not ever stay stagnant as inherent people. So now, with all of that said, I hope that allowed you to understand a little bit more about me and my character before we get into this, the real stuff. Now, so my topic for today, the actual topic that I want to discuss for my first podcast episode is I want to talk about how to forgive yourself. I want to talk about the topic of guilt and shame, and how all of that plays into the feelings of regret and forgiving yourself. So the reason that I wanted to talk about this as my first ding, ding, ding topic for like confirmation, I know for sure that I'm going to talk about this, is because I have been somebody who has transformed to somebody who I almost don't recognize. If you even see pictures of me when I was 20 years old, you won't recognize that person. It will be very shocking to see who I was, what I looked like, how I talked, how I acted, my personality, my opinions on things. To be frank, my level of attraction, I was significantly worse looking than I am now. I glowed up into my appearance. It's very shocking. I recently had my cousin's fiance see pictures of me from that time. And because my sister had made a calendar for my grandparents with a bunch of different family photos, and he was like, "Oh my God, that's you? What?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, I know." It's really scary. And so therefore, I have, throughout this time period of my life, from 20 to now 22, I have made some mistakes. Nothing illegal, nothing terribly bad. Don't worry for me. But I've made some mistakes that I have been very ashamed of. I have been very, 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 very happy with, unhappy, excuse me, unhappy with the choices that I have made in vulnerable positions. I find that most people in this world think in black and white. And black and white thinking is perfect for the topic of guilt, because your brain tricks yourself into thinking that there is only one possible outcome for X action that you just made. If you do X, you will get Y. And that's just not the way that reality works. That's not the way that this world functions in terms of keeping us stagnant, in terms of having a limitless amount of options that you can do in your day. You can always get back up and make a new choice. But the thing is our brain always wants to do what it can. It's a survival mechanism, essentially. It wants to do what it can to keep us protected, to keep us from feeling pain. And so what this worst case scenario type of concept, thinking process, thought process, excuse me, does is it convinces us that if we just think of everything in worst case scenario mode always, then that's protecting us because we're already aware of what the worst possible outcome is. So if we just keep telling ourselves that this worst case scenario is not only valid and a possibility, but it's that it's reality and it's happening and it's going to happen, then we're just planning our lives according to fear. And that makes sense. It does, because you're not living in ignorance. You're living in what can totally happen, what is very likely a possibility, or for sure a possibility. But just because it's a possibility does not mean that it's inherently a confirmation. It's going to be. It's going to occur. That's just not the way that the world works. And therefore, what happens with the term guilt? So let's just define guilt for like a second. From my perception, there are two elements to guilt that I found. The first element is, and this goes along with regret. Guilt always is attached to presuming that your outcome and the repercussion to this decision that you've made is going to hurt you. It's going to involve some type of failure or rejection or fear of not succeeding in the way you want to succeed, or having a lack of love in your life because this happened, or a lack of respect, or whatever it might be. Or, you know, you'll just, your business will fail, your story will fail as a human being, your career will fail. You will just fail because you did X. So that's the first element to guilt. This blank, blank, blank thing will happen because I did something bad. And so you're now terrified of this thing actually becoming a reality. And because of the idea that the future cannot be like reached out for, you can't just reach out and find the answer. It's always going to be ambiguous. You're never going to know unless it actually does happen. Your mind is just going to keep convincing yourself that it will happen because you have no proof that it won't happen. So your brain does this to protect yourself. The second element from my perception and my experience of guilt is having to blame nobody but yourself. So if you did this bad thing, you did it. There is nobody who can suffer through it for you. Even if somebody is in the same position, let's say even you did do something illegal, you did something that got you in jail, there are people there who are in that position too. They are feeling shame. A lot of people think shame and guilt are synonymous and they're the same. They're very interconnected, but there's a difference. So with shame, you can feel ashamed with the people next to you. You know, you guys can comfort each other. You can comfort each other because you're in a similar boat. Or if you are in a group project and you're standing in front of the class and you guys screwed up. That happened to me in my capstone project. Some girl messed up really badly in our group, and our whole group was freaking out basically. Last year, senior year of college. It's like we can all feel shame together, but guilt is a very singular emotion. guilt is something that nobody can feel for you, because it all goes back to you. You feel like you cannot blame anybody but yourself. And what does that mean? What is that synonymous with? Loneliness. Guilt makes you feel alone. Guilt makes you feel very, very, very lonely, because you're terrified of what's going to happen for your future, and nobody can live in your future for you. It's only you. You're terrified of that lack of something, or that losing something that you once had, losing that opportunity that you once had, or this and this person breaking up with you, or this and this person hurting you, whatever that fear is, depending on the circumstance, as well as having nobody to blame but yourself. So what is this linked to? Feeling alone and experiencing loneliness. Guilt is very, 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 very hard to live with. It is not a productive emotion. It's like, it's a very toxic and useless emotion. It's only useful when you initially learn the lesson of whatever it is you needed to learn. Like, oh, wow, I needed that wake-up call. Wow, I can't be making those choices anymore. It's good for the moment. But what happens after? You don't know, because you don't have the ability to gain insight in the future unless it actually does happen. So your brain dwells and it dwells and it dwells, and it turns into this spiral of self-hatred and discomfort and just not wanting to be yourself anymore. You feel stuck. You feel stagnant. You can't go in a time machine, hop in a time machine and go back in time and take those choices back. So what do? You're stuck in it. You live in it. You soak in it. You're stuck in it. That's how guilt feels. So what do we do because of this horrible, very useless and unproductive emotion that is very strong? It's very, very strong. What can we do now to eliminate it? What can we do now to move past it? And keep in mind, whenever I say, especially if I talk to you in person about anything, and I always say this thing of, I don't believe in getting over things. I believe in moving past them. And there's a difference there, if you hear it. There's a difference. What can we do to move past the guilt? From my perception and my personal experience, it's all about creating a new identity for yourself. That's how you move past things. You have to create a new identity. You have to become somebody who you always wanted to be and you are proud of now. And making that choice is building a success story that you would not have had without that experience. For example, this is very personal, but I don't mind sharing it because I was wrong for the guilt that I felt for 4 months. I was wrong. I was right for feeling scared because I had no idea what was going to happen, like I just mentioned, but I was wrong for feeling the guilt because I got exactly what I wanted, and exactly what I was afraid would not happen happened. Exactly what I wanted. So when I was a junior in college, I went through the most painful time of my entire life. And it's something that I don't even recognize when I see pictures of me from junior year. I remember the person I was at that time. I was in the darkest time of my entire life. I was severely disrespected by the person who I was dating for like a few years. He broke up with me and never spoke to me again, and did a lot of lies to my face and never gave me closure, never told me what the truth was. And to this day, I still don't know. You know, I really don't have any idea whatever happened in that relationship. I have no idea. But at that time, when it was going on, I completely lost my spirit. I lost everything that I had. I had always been a straight A student. I loved school. I was very just fun and lighthearted and goofy and just like a fun, I was always like a fun friend to have around who always just wanted to like be down and do things. Well, I turned into someone that I no longer recognized. I slept all the time. I would wake up at like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. My one friend who knew that, she knew how bad it was. She like had picked me up multiple times to like force me to get into the shower and force me to move and get up. And we'd go drive to like get coffee or something. She would like help me get up. I drank alcohol constantly. I was so, so unhappy. I like used alcohol to numb myself. And it actually got to the point where I started to realize I was becoming dependent on it. And that's why I immediately put it down. This is very personal. It's something I'm very ashamed of, but this was me junior year of college. That year, I was so unhappy. And when I noticed myself becoming dependent on these things, that's when I was like, I can't do it anymore. I have to stop. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. I failed 2 classes. My family doesn't even know this. Nobody in my family knows this, but hey, it doesn't matter, right? Because I'm in grad school now. So like, it doesn't really matter anymore, you know? I felt very alone because nobody knew what was going on. I failed 2 classes. It was rough. I lived in this reality. Like, I would wake up at like 2, 3, 4 p.m., get out of my bed finally. Then I would fall asleep at 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, crying to like my punk music, or I'd listen to like Bring Me the Horizon, like some like really dark Asking Alexandria, like really dark stuff, because I cried and I cried and I cried every single night. And actually my roommate Madeline, if you're listening, I freaking love you, she wasn't there anymore and she moved back home, and so I didn't have a roommate anymore to keep me in check or know, so it was just a double for one person. And it was, I'm trying to talk quieter because my roommates are probably sleeping, but it was freaking painful. No one knew what the hell was happening to me. I was deteriorating into nothing. I would lie there and I would just drink and I would lie there and I would cry and cry and cry for days on end. And I did that the whole junior year. And the whole time I would wonder, this is very personal to share, but the whole time I would wonder, is this person who I spent years with ever just going to reach out and say hi? Are they ever going to want to like just check up on me? Like, why was I somebody who was so easy to throw away? Like, why would you never want to talk to me ever again? Like, we were together for so long. Like, why would you just throw me away and not give two shits about me? And so I would just cry and cry and be like, why am I such an easy person to just throw away? And then what happened? I deteriorated. Like I said, I failed 2 classes and it was dark. And by that point, my GPA went from, I don't remember exactly, but it was somewhere between a 3.5 and a 3.6. That was like my overall, to a 2.97, like just on the cusp of a 3.0. I went through a 3.5, 3.6 to a 3.0 in one semester because I failed 2 classes. A GPA is really easy it's really easy to screw up. It's very difficult to increase. It's very difficult to fix. And especially this was my third year of college, so I only had 2 more semesters, which my last 2 semesters I I don't think I had a 4.0, but I was definitely Dean's List. I think I had like over 3.5 for both semesters, but we'll get into that in a second. So yeah, I fucked up. I went to a 2.97, 3.0, and now it is time for me to apply to grad school. And so the whole summer, the whole year, all I did was freak out that I wasn't going to get into grad school. All I did was freak out that I wasn't going to get into grad school. Why? Because I wanted it so bad. And I thought that my GPA and the fact that there were now two Fs on my goddamn transcript was going to keep me from achieving what I wanted. Well, what did I do? I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was seeing an academic counselor lady at our school. This is so nostalgic for me. This is so nostalgic. And he told me, she's the best person ever. You'll love her so much. Like, oh my God, you'll love her. Just book a meeting with her. So I started seeing her from January of, so this is second semester of senior year, till April. Every Monday at 11 a.m., I saw her. And I told her nearly everything that I just told you guys right now. And she, every single time that I went in there, she gave me a new challenge. She helped me. She taught me something. And so she said something that I'm going to share right now. And I just was thinking about it yesterday because I'm currently in the process of deciding if I should switch programs or not. She said, you pencil in the plan and life fills in the colors. I'll never forget that. And so she just gave me all this advice, all these challenges. Like, I want you to contact X, Y, and Z university by the next time I see you. I want you to do this interview with this and this, like, you know, this and this plan, and you're going to try this. And it's just, she helped me so much for 4 months. And then I'm sitting in school. I'm in the library. I feel chills right now as I speak about this because it means so much. It means the freaking world to me. I'm sitting in the library at my school and I'm staring at the computer because I'm just scrolling through my emails and I'm doing some homework. And next thing you know, I get an email that says congratulations, which was the subject. And I open the email and it says, congratulations, you've been admitted. In that moment, I felt the most joy and peace I had felt in so long. I cried and I cried and I cried. It was one of those like ugly cries that you see on a TV show of like a teenage girl being broken up with, so she has an ugly cry. It was one of those in public at my school library. I just started like ball ugly crying in the middle of the library. And I called my mom and I told her, Они меня взяли, which means they accepted me in Russian. And this random girl I never saw in my life came up to me and said, hey, congratulations, because she heard me. And I was like, wow, thank you. And so I share that story because it's firsthand proof. It's I'm a living proof for you. If you're watching this video right now, I'm sorry, I'm used to YouTube. If you're listening to this right now and you're going through some really bad mistake that you just freaking hate yourself for, man. Like, you're like, what on earth was I thinking? There is proof for you right there that it might not end up being the way that you're so afraid for it to happen. Because I thought that I went from a 3.5, 3.6 overall to a 2.97. Who's going to accept me? I failed. I failed two classes. Like, that's horrible. And what am I now? I'm in my second semester of grad school. I don't say this to brag. I say this because it's factual. I have a 3.92 overall GPA. I would have had a 4.0 if my freaking professor would have made, because I had a 3.5. Or excuse me. What the heck am I saying? I'm just talking about GPA. I had a 94.5. That was my grade for the class, a 94.5. And in grad school, an A is a 95 and an A minus is a 94. I had a 94.5 and she would not round up. If she had rounded up my 94.5, I would have had a 4.0. But she just said, hey, Rochelle, I'm not rounding grades. I was like, okay, thanks. So I went from someone who failed two classes to someone who's a 3.9 and someone who wants to be a professor and someone who wants to make like so much money and wants to be, is just so ambitious. There's so much that I want to do with my life. And for me to be thinking that I made this choice and I had this pain and that's going to be the way that I'm defined, that's going to be the way that I am identified, is just untrue. It's untrue. And so that's what I mean when I say, when I go back to this whole point of me saying, you have to create a new identity for yourself. If you're not proud of the person who you've been, if you really, like, late at night, you're lying with yourself in bed and you're thinking, like, I am not nice to people anymore, or I come off really condescending, or I've turned bitter, I've turned mean, like, who the hell am I anymore? That doesn't have to be you. It does not have to be you. It could be who you are now. And don't you, I mean, it's all about honesty. It's all about transparency. Don't tell yourself that you're this great person if you feel that you're not. You're straight up just not. Be honest with yourself. Be like, yeah, I'm a freaking bad person right now. I've done some bad things that are against my moral code or that have hurt others who did not deserve it. And so what am I going to do? Am I going to continue this, wow, I hate the world, I'm going to be bitter, people have hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them before they hurt me? Or am I going to choose choice B and create a new identity for myself and give back what I want myself? Fun fact about me, I really like Dr. Phil. Sounds funny, some old man, you know, meet a young girl liking some old man's talk show, but I love Dr. Phil. And I heard in one of his episodes, he said, something that brings people the most joy is by giving others what you want the most. So if you want love the most, if you want acceptance the most, if you want kindness, if you want money even, if you want, that sounds like a little bit of a dichotomy there, but seriously, what you want so much, you need to become that yourself. It's very fulfilling. Life isn't about this gaining, attaining happiness, because happiness is just a feeling. Say it's the opposite of sad. You're not always sad. You're not always happy. You're not always angry. You're not always moody. You could be always depressed, but you're not always sad. And so you're not always happy. But if you're always fulfilled, usually there's a reason behind you being fulfilled. It doesn't just pop out of nowhere. You're fulfilled because you're doing good things, because you're becoming a person that you've always wanted to be. You've always wanted to treat people in this way. You've always wanted to make this, you know, a career option for you. And so you finally did it. Or you, like, whatever you want in life, that might not be who you are now. And you might be really angry and really uncomfortable with the person who you've been. But that doesn't mean that you have to be that forever. Yes, it's your current norm. It's all that you're used to. Probably the people around you have influenced you too. So it's all that you know. Your family conditioned you to be this way. Your friends have conditioned you to be this way. you know, but it's not it's not entirely your fault unless you decide that this is your character. You decide that this is who you are and you commit to it. If you don't commit to it, it doesn't have to be you anymore. I find, going back to what I said in the beginning of this podcast episode, is that people tend to think of in black and white. And so they think that it's either all their fault or it's other people's fault completely, and they have no blame and they have no responsibility. From my perception, everything is in the gray. Everything in life is in the gray. And everything, as I said in the beginning, can be seen from any and every angle possible. And so with guilt, it tends to be a lot of the time in the gray. It wasn't entirely your fault, even though maybe the consequences hurt you, that GPA, you know, decrease in GPA and failures that you experienced were just you, but it was a product of your environment. You were taught that this was normality. You were taught that this is okay. You were taught that living with armor, living with this shield, emotional shield of protecting yourself and hurting people before they hurt you, or making certain choices because it was a product of your environment. If you took those people out, if you took it away from yourself and disassociated it as if they never existed from your past, you probably wouldn't have made those decisions. You were conditioned. Yes, you did make the responsible, yes, you do have the responsibility of holding that action as your own. Take ownership of it. Yes, you did it. But it's not just you. It's a product of your environment. It's a product of what you've been taught. It's what has been taught is okay. And therefore, a lot of people are going to disagree with you. A lot of people are going to disagree with those choices because they were conditioned differently. Sorry, guys, I've been talking for 40 minutes, so I'm starting to like need some tea or water or something. But they disagree with you, and they might look down upon this choice that you made or these decisions that you share. You're like, oh my God, you did that? I would have never imagined. It's because they were conditioned differently. There were different circumstances in their environment, a different family, a different socioeconomic status, a different, you know, school environment, different friends, different trauma, different pain that led you to certain choices that you made. It's not just black and white. It's in the gray. It was you, but it was also a product of what you were taught and how you were conditioned. And so now that we learn this, we can unlearn it. We can uncondition ourselves. And that takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, and a lot of resilience. But it's possible, and I've done it. I did it. When I was 21, I did it. Now that I'm 22 and figuring a lot of more about myself now, I've done it. I'm living proof of it. And I will continue to be learning proof of it for myself. Not just for me to talk about it in a podcast episode to help other people, but also just for myself, because I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be someone who's remembered for one thing and then people forget about you the next because, like, you know, you have your 15 minutes of fame or you have your one thing that people identify you for. I want to be known for a million things that I did. I want to do so many things with my life. I don't want to stay stagnant in one place. And I don't want to be known for just one thing. And so I'm going to continue to uncondition and recondition myself. Because my morals and my thoughts are always going to change. I'm always going to disagree with the person that I was a year ago. And that's the way that it should be. So if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking you made some really bad choice, you know, hurt somebody or killed somebody even, let's get to like some bad shit. You like did some brutal stuff. Or you know, cheated on your partner, or you, I don't know, whatever it might be, or you wasted all your money and now you're going broke, or like you failed in some way, or you hurt yourself, or you hurt someone else. You're ashamed. And that shame is good because it's teaching you what you don't want to be. Guilt isn't productive long term, but like I said, it's a very toxic and unproductive emotion, but it's only productive short term. It's teaching you what you don't want to do again. I would actually be fearful for people to not have guilt. That would actually display severely sociopathic symptoms. People who have ASPD, diagnosed ASPD, people who we see in the Netflix documentaries are the people who don't feel guilt for doing something bad, for don't feel bad for doing malicious things. So I would actually feel concerned for you if you did something awful and you had no guilt for it. Guilt is a good thing short term because it's teaching you what you don't want to be defined as. And so now we can take all of this information, we could take all this life experience, and you could become someone so different, so unrecognizable from the person that you were. For instance, I'll be 23. I don't want to know who I was at 22 or 21 or 20 or 19 or 18 or 17. I don't want to be those people. They're always going to be a part of me. They're always going to be, you know, like, you can't become your 23 or 24-year-old self before becoming your 22-year-old self. There's always going to be a piece of you. You know, people say that what made you the happiest when you were a child is going to make you the happiest when you're an adult. You know, that's an example. There's always going to be every year, every age, every mistake, every accomplishment. There's always going to be a little small piece that of you, of that version of you inside of you. I mean, me my junior year of college is always going to be a small part of me, even though I see photos and family photos and stuff, and I don't recognize who that was. I don't recognize that person. I don't recognize anything. It's like, I know that small little part of that person is still somewhere in me. And so I wouldn't be who I am now. I wouldn't be sharing this information with you if I didn't make those guilty mistakes. And so that is really my theme for this topic today. If you're really guilty about something, if you hate a choice you made, you have to remember that you can always make a new choice. You can always create a new identity for yourself, and you don't have to remember that old person. At some point, you'll laugh at it. You'll laugh at what the hell you were doing at that age. Like, who the heck was that person? Because I don't even know them. Like, what? Girl who? Who? Boy, who am I? Who is that person? Like, what? That's really what you can, like, transformation is incredible, and that really is what it does for us. And so that's your plan. That's your plan right now. And another part of that plan is to remember that you're not always going to have all the answers. You're not always just going to be able to know. For instance, I thought for my whole senior year, I wasn't going to get into grad school. That's what I thought was going to happen. I wasn't going to get in because I severely screwed up my GPA. And I got in. So I was wrong. So you don't have all the answers. And so if your worst case scenario does happen, you will deal with it then. You will address it then. But you don't have to live in this unproductive, very maladaptive state of thinking and being. It's just going to crush you and destroy you. So just do some productive things. Get up and move around and go, you know, eat a healthy meal. Go to the gym. Do something that's going to fulfill you. Be kind to somebody today. Compliment somebody. Do something that's going to make someone feel good. I was driving home yesterday and I was in the middle of a highway, so I couldn't stop. But I saw a homeless man, and it wasn't like a need money, you know, plea. It just, you know, because typically people will say, no, I'm not giving them money because probably going to go buy drugs and alcohol with it. But this person just was, he had two dogs and he held up a sign saying, would do anything for a slice of pizza. And I had tears in my eyes because I wanted to stop and buy him pizza so bad. You know, and that wasn't, it wasn't because I wanted to be a philanthropic, you know, Dr. Phil Oprah. It wasn't because I want to be known and want to have this, you know, narcissism of look what I did today. It was because I wanted to do something kind for somebody. But I, if it was somewhere that was a street with parking and I could just leave my car and come back, I absolutely would have bought him food. I wanted to so bad. And he caught me smiling at him and he smiled back. But I couldn't. I was in the middle of the highway, you know. And I don't know. I just wanted to do something nice. So do something nice for somebody today. That's kind of a random example, but it just happened yesterday. So do something nice or do something nice for yourself. And remember that if you're not happy, you can make different choices, better choices today. So that's my message for right now. I really hope that you guys enjoyed this. I mean, it, I don't know, feels good. Feels good. I really hope you guys enjoyed this, and please, if you're interested in following me, I have an Instagram and a Twitter, RochelleD527 on both, and that's about it. I hope this message touched somebody today. I hope it made you feel less alone, because these types of emotions are very lonely. You feel so alone. The guilt is so heavy. The shame is so heavy. You just want to go back in time and change what you regret now. And so I hope it made you feel less alone, and I hope it inspired you that you don't have access to your future. And that's actually a very advantageous thing, that you don't know what's going to happen. So you can create a lot of cool things. You can make life your own mystery. You can make life something to be excited about because you don't know. It's scary. I mean, it's disadvantageous for sure, because there's a lot of risks and consequences that can happen that you're not aware of yet because it hasn't happened yet. But it's a lot of amazing things that you can do if you just manipulate your future in a way that is productive and exciting and kind. And you don't have to be who you were making those mistakes and who you're ashamed of. So that's my message for right now. I really hope that it touched somebody more than anything, because if you don't know how much pain I went through because of my own self, because I made certain choices and I felt like it was the end of the world. And then I got into school and I continued with my career, and I never would have known that I would be making this podcast episode talking about how that was something in the past, because that was my daily reality, and I was convinced that it was going to affect me and kill me, and my GPA tanked, and it just, it's not real. So thank you for listening to this again, and follow me on social media, on the internet if you would like to, and let me know your thoughts on this. Thank you. Bye-bye.